Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. This is Premier Chess CEO, National Master Evan Rabin, and I am very excited to be here on the 187th edition of the Premier Chess podcast with a very special guest, Joe Applebaum, who I will say is definitely in my top three to five active LinkedIn connections. I've actually never met Joe in person, but I feel, just through social media, I've known him, quite well over the years. He's the CEO and founder of Ajax Union, which is a B2B digital marketing agency based in Brooklyn, New York. They do SEO, social media, email marketing, and a lot more in the digital marketing space. And it's my pleasure to have you on today. How's everything going?
Thank you for having me on the podcast. Everything is going fantastic. I'm really excited about having this conversation because I know I took a chess lesson with you and that one lesson like really helped my chess game. I don't know if you know that, but like you helped me be able to see chess through a whole nother light. And I always tell people when it comes to marketing, the right strategy will save you a decade because a lot of people are just doing random acts of marketing. But energy without strategy is a waste of time. Like you're not going to win the game. Like if your goal is not to win the game, you could just do marketing. But if your goal is to actually win new clients, win more exposure, get more visibility, build more credibility, have more conversations with ideal clients, then you need the right strategy because otherwise you'll be spinning your wheels, getting the wrong people into your pipeline. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you get somebody that's interested in your products and services, and then you follow up with them and they're MIA, and you follow up again and they're MIA, and you follow up again and they're like, remove me from your list. I'm like, what?
Well, I have to say, for one, that line is something I'm going to use over and over again. I did write it down in my notes. Energy without strategy is a waste of time. It really is. We need to always have a purpose. One of the first things I teach any student, right, is every single move has to have a purpose, right? There's no, wasting time. And that's, of course, in life too. Today is like, crazy, for instance. 7:05 a.m., I was on a train to Philadelphia. Back-to-back meetings, here I am recording a podcast episode. I'm at WeWork. I'm going out to lunch with my instructors, going to kick off the school program, literally coming back to New York and Bedrat Hashem going to a wedding in Brooklyn.
Oh, congratulations. Tonight. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. That's so exciting.
My dear friend, Henry Goldelman, is getting married. I wouldn't be surprised if you knew him. The two of you know everyone in the Jewish community. Literally it's like not like wasting a second,
And especially when you're playing chess, you have a clock and sometimes you have 5 minutes to play the game, sometimes 10 minutes to play the game. And there's never an unlimited amount of time because there's eventually you have to go to sleep. So there's you don't want to waste time and you want to make sure that you have the right moves in marketing, in life, in business, in every area. And sometimes a little bit of training can go a long way. So I was saying before, is like even the little bit of training that you said about developing pieces and about like your first moves and like what you're doing, that really defines the game. And I believe when it comes to marketing, specifically marketing on LinkedIn, the way you move, the things that you do, the actions that you take on a regular basis are going to define whether you're going to be successful or not. I remember my son, when I started playing chess with him, he would get angry every time he lost. He would knock over the pieces. And I'd be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You ever play with somebody and then they actually get upset if they don't win?
Absolutely. It happens all the time,
I told him it's not fun playing with you anymore. I'm not going to play with you anymore if you're going to get angry. I said, what you're going to do from now on, if you want to play with me, is that when you lose, you shake my hand and you smile. And when you win, you shake my hand and you smile. I said, marketing is about testing. And every time you play, you're testing. And if you're not learning something, then you're not paying attention because you have the ability to learn something from every post on LinkedIn. You have the ability to learn something from every time you like and comment on something. You have the ability to learn every time someone doesn't respond to your direct message or to your email. You have the ability to learn, but if you're not paying attention, you're not properly growing. And if you're not growing, you're dying. Your campaign, your business will grow or your business will die. It's like your teeth. If you don't pay attention to your teeth, they're going to be fine, but eventually you're going to lose them. They're going
to
go away.
I have to say, you've raised so much, you know, so many important ideas, and you actually remind me of two, you know, I would say my favorite lines on my podcast so far. You know, one is actually relatively early on, Elliot Neff, he's the founder of Chess for Life, a very big chess company in Seattle. You know, he always says, right, you either win, you draw, or you learn, right? There's no losing, you know, in a game, right? And along that token, right, we're constantly improving. Actually, our most recent podcast guest, Rabbi Mendy Berkerer of Olamim Manhattan, you know, he was sharing with me a couple of weeks ago, you know, when it comes to like Judaism, right? If you're not actually like growing in Judaism, you're actually going backwards, you know? And, you know, if you're stagnant, you know, at the end of the day, like there's people that are going forward. You know, I could actually name like several chess grandmasters, you know, even or strong players who have yet to get to grandmaster, who, you know, became essentially weaker, but not by like actually like getting worse in chess, just by like being stagnant, right? And people have, you know, actually surpassed them. So, you know, it's so great to see that you've learned a lot about chess just through, you know, literally a lesson. But, you know, in being in the digital marketing space for, you know, quite a while, and building up, you know, I would say a top tier digital marketing business. What have you seen as the parallels between like chess and digital marketing?
Well, number one is you got to always be testing out different things. You can't just have your same old move, because if you play your same old move, eventually it'll stop working. Whatever worked in the year 1990 didn't work in 2000. And what worked in 2000 didn't work in 2010. And it worked in 2010 is not working in 2020. And whatever's working in 2020 is not going to work in 2030. When the world is going to be running off NFTs and whatever is going on right now that we see is in the birth of Bitcoin and all that stuff, that's going to affect everything that we do. So what you need to constantly be doing is changing up your moves and testing things out and learning from the past. Now, there are certain fundamentals. There are certain fundamentals that you always have to have in place, both in chess and in digital marketing. There are certain fundamentals that you have to have. For example, in chess, you have to learn what is your goal? What would you like to achieve over here? With every move that you make, you got to figure out, am I just moving for the sake of moving because I'm bored? Or do I want to accomplish something with this move? Whether it's develop a piece, whether it's think three moves ahead of what you want to do. In business, if you're not thinking ahead, then you're going to get stuck. You're going to waste a lot of money, a lot of time. You're not doing what you need to do. You need to spend a certain amount of time sharpening the saw. Stephen Covey in The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about the 7 habits that you need to be not just efficient. A lot of people want to be efficient. You need to be effective, which means make some type of transformation, some type of change in your life, in the lives of the people around you, and keep growing. And one of the things that he says, if I gave you a saw and I said you have 6 hours to cut the tree down, are you going to just start cutting the tree, or are you going to identify, is this saw sharp? If you spend 15 minutes sharpening the saw, you're going to be able to cut the same tree down in let's say an hour or 2 hours versus 6 hours with a dull saw, just, you know, going and going and going. So if you learn a few strategies when it comes to marketing, if you keep testing, if you keep making moves, but you have that foundation of understanding what is your goal, what would you like to achieve? One of our competitive advantages at Ajax Union, why we're different than many other marketing agencies, is that we're focused on your business. We're not just focused on tactics. When we started our business, we were serving a different demographic. We were more focused on targets, targets of people that were just looking for SEO. We didn't really get involved in their business. But as we evolved, and as our business evolved, and as our clients evolved, we had to have a different skill set, a different need to take things to the next level. If you're playing a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old, you're going to have a completely different approach to chess than if you're playing against a grandmaster. You're going to be really thinking differently and applying different things. Like with a child, maybe you're going to take many more risks and try different things out and just have fun and maybe give up a few pieces to make it interesting, to level the playing field. But if you're playing with a grandmaster, you know they're going to completely and totally crush you. So you really want to think about what they're doing. What are your competitors doing? What are the people doing in the space? How is everything changing? And so depending on what you're trying to accomplish, what you're trying to tackle, things are going to be different. Right now in our business, our goal is to learn about your goals in your business and to try to figure out what tactics are actually going to make a difference for you to win more clients, for you to be able to grow, for you to be able to make an impact in your industry. And so once we understand your business, then it's about getting things done. You can't overthink. In business, you can't overthink things. You got to take action because you learn from action, not from overthinking. Have you ever played with somebody chess and suddenly they're having paralysis of analysis and they're like, I have two options of how I could move my pawn here. And they're thinking about it and they have 10 minutes to play and they spent 9 of their 10 minutes trying to figure out what to do with this pawn. Just move the pawn, sacrifice it. You know what your risks are. Move on and figure out your next move.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, you know, a couple of things, you know, there. You know, for one, to the contrary of what you said a little bit, you know, one line that I actually say over and over again to students is I like to make the same move against a kindergartner and a grandmaster, you know, in a given position. Right, because ultimately, right, you are just trying to like make the best move, right? You're not necessarily looking to, you know, trick your opponent, you know.
If that's your goal, and you are trying to trick your opponent sometimes, so I don't know that you're not. Sometimes you do want to trick your opponent and put some pieces in certain places to make them think they're doing something. I've done that many times and won many games by making myself vulnerable, sacrificing a castle, and getting my queen and my rook in a position where I know that if they go for that castle, if they take the bait, I trick them, and now, boom, checkmate. There you go. Because I sacrificed other pieces. So in marketing, there's a foundation that you have to have in order for you to be successful. And it really depends on who you're competing with that will make the difference in terms of being able to win clients or not. But the goal is going to be different. What I'm saying is you can have the same tactic over and over and over, the grandmaster or the child. But for me, the goal will change if I play with a child than if I play with a grandmaster. The goal will change. And the goal is so important. So I think we're saying the same thing. Of course, you want to try to develop your pieces and you want to try to be honest and you want to try to win every single time. But sometimes you have to be able to trick the other person. Sometimes even the things that I say trick the person. Like if I'm playing in person, I'll be like, oh my God, you're winning. I can't believe it. Or just like the talk is part of the game as well. Again, if that's your goal, if that's what you're trying to do, you're trying to have fun in your own personal way. And you have your way of playing. I have my way of playing. And, you know, for every business, you have different types of customers. I'm sure there are a lot of chess trainers out there, but you have a competitive advantage, Evan. There's a reason why people come to you and use your instructors then they would go with a competitor. And their ideal clients are not your ideal clients. You could be in the same market doing the same thing, but you have different ideal clients and you'll be able to make money and be successful if you can figure out your unique position, your unique way of doing business. Then you get your ideal clients and then your ideal clients stay. They spend more. They're not worried about spending. They're not trying to get the lowest cost provider because it's better to get the right provider than try to save money and get the wrong provider. So this, you know, the same thing works in so many different parallels in chess and training and business and life. And so the key is what I want everyone to know here from this, from my statement is figure out what you want, figure out your goal. And once you figure out your goal, there are foundations that you put in place, figuring out your ideal clients, making sure that the messaging resonates with them. And then from there, you can start tactics.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And obviously there's, you know, different styles of doing things. But nevertheless, right, I think the key idea is, as you said in the beginning, just, you know, having that strategy.
Like the plan is, you know, planning to fail, right? There's that, you know, famous line. So
I don't want people to plan to fail. I want people to plan to scale. Because if you want to be a whale, you can't get stuck with the shale. Otherwise, you'll be slow like a snail. And slow and steady wins the race. But it doesn't mean that you have to quit. Don't quit. Keep moving forward.
keep moving forward. I like it. So speaking of which, right, you know, like you said, right there, I mean, there's a lot of chess companies out there, but if there's one chess company, there's, you know, literally probably 2,000 digital marketing companies, you know, out there. You know, we've in the past had, you know, Seth Godkin on the podcast, for instance, you know, founder of Zep Media. But I mean, okay, that's just like literally one other, you know, digital marketing company out there. But again, there are, you know, literally thousands and thousands, right? So, you know, what are your ideal clients and what really, you know, scales, you know, Adject Union from, you know, the many other, you know, digital marketing companies out there?
There are many digital marketing agencies out there, and different ones focus on different things. There are ones that focus on business to consumer. There are e-commerce agencies. There are agencies that focus on specific tactics like SEO, SEM, social media. There are PR agencies. There are branding agencies. There are web design agencies. There are social media agencies. There are organic social media agencies, and there are paid social media agencies. There are agencies that only focus on Instagram. There are agencies that only focus on LinkedIn. There are agencies that only focus on LinkedIn advertising. That's all they do, or just Facebook advertising. So depending on what you need, you might want to go with an agency that focuses on a specific tactic or in a specific niche or in a specific, you know, there are agencies that only focus on chiropractors. I actually spoke to an agency yesterday and he only focused on EOS implementers. These are people that are part of the operational, the entrepreneurial operating system that read the book Traction. And then they have a whole group of implementers that are kind of like business coaches, consultants for companies that are typically in the few million dollars per year revenue range, and they implement systems and processes in those companies. And this guy does a tactic. He does email prospecting for EOS implementers. The way that our marketing agency is different is we're full service, but we're full service specifically for business to business companies that have a high value client. They have a marketing director and a sales team. And most of the time they're on the Inc. 5,000. They're high growth companies. So we have a list of companies. There are only 10,000 companies that have ever been on the Inc. 5,000. And we know who those companies are. We have the list of those companies and we know who are B2B, who has a marketing director. And we go after them very strategically because we know what we're going after. We know exactly what we want to achieve. And one of the things that they need is a company that understands high growth companies, that knows how to work with a marketing director, that understands the marketing funnel. What we do for companies is we first set a strategy, then we build out a funnel, a marketing funnel, which is a bunch of different assets, landing pages, lead magnets, email automations, technology. There's over 8,000 marketing and sales technologies right now. So there's a lot of technologies that you can pick. We pick the right ones based on your goal, based on what you want to achieve, based on your budget. And then we employ SEO, SEM, social media. We employ email marketing, email prospecting. We do whatever the client needs, but we work with a very specific niche audience of companies where we can really make an impact. Our clients will spend somewhere in the range of $100,000 to $200,000 a year on advertising, on marketing, and we'll support them to help them be able to grow their business, to be able to make a difference because we're being very strategic. Our two competitive advantages is number one is that we understand your business. So we really dig down into your business and understand it. And number two is we get things done. We believe that action speaks louder than words. And there's a book, if anybody's listening to this and you're an entrepreneur and you want to be able to get more things done and stop procrastinating and instead start performing, there's a book called Getting Things Done. The author's name is David Allen. It's a fantastic book. It's not so easy to read, but if you want to really understand how to get projects done, reading that book and mastering it and implementing parts of that system, that will really help you be able to take your business to a whole new level. It's mandatory reading for our employees. We do trainings on it. And then we help you be able to move projects forward because ultimately we're project managers. That's what we are. We're strategists and project managers. And we need to make sure that we have the right strategy and then we understand how to move the project forward. We get the specialists to get the work done and then we move the project forward. We test, we adjust, we A/B test. We check what the conversions are they happening? Are they not happening? What's going on? And then as your company changes goals, changes direction, we will change your marketing to reflect what you're doing. We have a client, initially, their goal was to get more clients. And then COVID hit and their business blew up. They did great. When I say blew up, they did great through COVID. And now they just need more employees. So we started a whole recruiting strategy for them, marketing on their behalf to try to find ideal employees. We created a careers page on their website. We created a nice video for them. And then we started sending traffic to that for people that can apply for the various jobs they have available. So, and there was another company that got acquired. We have three of our clients that got acquired through COVID. There's a lot of mergers and acquisitions happening because there's more liquidity in the market. Interest rates are low. People are buying and rolling businesses up. There's more cash available, more capital available right now. That might not be available when inflation, when they need to start managing inflation. And so we're helping companies be able to sync up with their parent companies. We have companies that were 20 million and now they're 250 million. And so we had to figure out, okay, how is the strategy different from what we were doing before to what we're doing now? We're getting integrated with their team. So there's a lot of shifts that are happening in the market. And based on that, we're suited as a company where our competitive advantage is to understand your business and get things done. We're well suited to support those types of companies.
Yeah, and I think the art of competitive advantage is definitely something that is extremely important in in a business and chess, everything else. And I will say one thing that probably a lot of chess players actually don't do enough of is really trying to identify their competitive advantage before coming with a plan. Right. So I once was, for instance, teaching an adult beginner student who happened to be an executive at Google. But, one thing he would constantly do is basically go for an attack at all costs. You know, literally every single position he had, he would go out for this kingside attack, not realizing that his opponent, actually had a relatively safe king. But on the contrary, his opponent had, let's say, a weak isolated pawn, right? When rather than going for like some random attack, right, he should have been focused a little bit more on his competitive advantage. And in business, right, in sales, right, I've always been trained to look after the low hanging fruit. My good friend and mentor Bill Peterson, former trainer at Oracle. You used to talk about that all the time. It's easy to go for the big whale, but no, you want to go for, smaller deals that, for sure that you're, gonna get. So next thing I wanted to ask you about, which is actually very different, is, we've had a couple of rabbis on the podcast, just the other day. As I said before, we had Mendy, Berkover, and we've had a couple others. I myself, I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but I'm sort of in my Baal Teshuva journey. I'm in the Manhattan Jewish Experience Senior Fellowship, where I'm, learning lots of Torah, every week, led by Rabbi Penny Rosenthal. But one problem that I've had it in the last couple years, and I normally don't talk about it so openly, like on the podcast, but I am now. One of my challenges has been being an entrepreneur, and also, keeping Shabbat, and all of that. You're obviously a, pretty successful, executive, running a business. But you're also, an observant, Orthodox Jew. So could you talk a little bit about, kind of like work-life balance and, being an entrepreneur, but also being an observant Jew?
One of the benefits of being an entrepreneur is you can decide how you spend your time. You can craft your business according to your values, according to what you want to do. So I am able to decide when my business is open, when my business is closed, when I respond, how I respond. I had a client contact me, said, "Joe, I feel always overwhelmed because my clients email me and I'm always responding and I respond right away within minutes." So I said, basically what you're doing is you're training your clients to email you in middle of the night so that you could respond in middle of the night. He's like, "Well, that's the right way to do it." I was like, "You decide what the right way to do. You decide how long it takes for you to respond. And if you have a 24/7 policy, you can create the life that you want. If you want to have a life where you're observant and you keep Shabbat, for example, that is a life that you can create for yourself by literally turning off your electronics at a certain time and then turning it back on at a certain time. It's simple as that. If you decide you also don't want to work on Sundays, it was a certain point where I decided I'm not working on Sundays or checking email or doing anything. And for the longest time, I was off the grid on Sundays as well. I didn't do social media. I didn't check my emails. I was literally just there present with my kids, with my family. And that's basically what I did. And I can choose as an entrepreneur when I want to work, what I want to do, how I want to do it. And you could still be successful because it's all about your strategy. People think that if you don't work and grind 24/7, you're not going to be successful. That's not true. You first have to define success. And then you have to define what you want to accomplish and define how many hours you're going to be working. I like working 20 hours a week. That's my preference. I don't have to work 80 hours. I don't have to work the regular 8-hour day. I don't have to. I could if I want to, but I can take off if I want. And I create, when I started my business 13 years ago, I decided I'm not doing the work. I'm going to hire competent employees. And then I'm going to hire a salesperson to sell their time. And I'm going to manage the whole process. I'm going to educate the employees. And I'm going to do what I love doing. If you're not doing what you love doing, then don't do it. Find something that you love. You live one life. If you love being observant, if you love connecting to a greater purpose, if you love being part of that community, then be part of that community and connect. And if you don't love being part of it, find a community that resonates with your values. Find people that you love and attach to them and connect with them and build a relationship with them. And being successful in business has nothing to do with how religious you are, how observant you are, or anything like that. It has to do with having the right strategy, making sure you surround yourself with the right people, making sure that you're adding value. And of course, you need to have siyata deshmaya. You need to have help from above. You need to have the right luck. But luck is not a good strategy. Just trying to get lucky in chess is not a good strategy. Yeah, you might get lucky. They might put their queen in the way, but that's not going to help you be successful. You are given the tools and the vessel and the ability to learn. There's something called creating a keli. This is what I learned growing up. You have to create a vessel for success. Sure, you can rely on God, but a lot of people use that as an excuse for not working. They're like, oh, it's up to God. If God wants me to be successful, I'll be. No, that's not called religion. That's not called being observant. That's called making excuses. Don't use God as your crutch for your lack of success. Instead, what you want to do is you want to craft your ideal day, your ideal life. If your ideal life is learning Torah, go learn Torah. If your ideal life is doing mitzvot, is going and doing the commandments and spending time doing the things that you want to do, it's your life. You have 24 hours in the day and you can decide how you want to spend your time. You want to pray 3 times a day? Go pray 3 times a day. A lot of us that grew up in observant households, we don't really have a choice in the matter. You're taught and you're programmed to do certain things. You have a choice. You lived a certain lifestyle until now, and you decide that you want to get into a different lifestyle. That's a choice. There are people that grew up with that lifestyle and decide they want to change the lifestyle and leave the lifestyle. And it is not our job to judge other people based on their level of observance or based on what they want to accomplish. It's also not our job to judge ourselves. We often judge ourselves. Oh, I'm not going to be a good entrepreneur if I'm not working 24/7 and I decide to become observant. That's not true. Oh,
I just wanted to step in because I have actually, in the last few weeks, started working with my dear friend, Sarah Grizzle, who's a life coach. And, you know, if there's one thing she taught me in all of our sessions so far, it's just don't be a judger. You know, there's always this judger inside of me, you know, who's thinking, oh my God, I should have done this or I shouldn't have.
If you want to read about this, there's a book called Positive Intelligence. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
Very, very powerful book. He claims that there are different voices in our head. There's a judge. There's a lot of different voices, but the one you're talking about is the judge. And that judge wakes up and creates a lot of negativity and ruckus in our mind, in our life in general. We start judging other people. We start judging ourselves. So you're absolutely right. Judging is not bad. Judging means evaluating. Is this good? Is this bad? Sometimes it could save your life. Like, for example, should I get too close to that 3 train that's oncoming at 45 miles an hour? Well, I judged that and I said, that's bad because my goal is to live. And so I'm not going to get in front of that train because I know I might fall or something might happen. So I'll stay before the yellow line. So judging has its purpose. The problem is when we're using judging to stop ourselves from being in our power, to stop ourselves from living our best life. And so in this book, Positive Intelligence, which is, by the way, it's a fascinating read. So I highly recommend reading it and looking into the whole concept of positive intelligence. You can really optimize your life by recognizing that judge, by listening to it in the times that it serves you, and by ignoring it in the times that it doesn't serve you.
Yeah, well, I think that, and thank you, by the way, for the insightful book recommendation. And yeah, judging versus evaluating is an interesting concept. I think judging is a little bit more preliminary and doesn't have like a lot of thought. And of course, evaluating something we do obviously a lot of in chess. Is important. I think some people will quickly evaluate a position, judge a position, but really they need to evaluate it, right? They actually need to look at some of the things like king safety, pawn structure, right? Every single asset of the position before going ahead and actually, coming up with a natural solution. So, I think that is an integral part. And, look, in terms of, judging other people, I absolutely agree. My Rabbi Levi Welton, always likes to share the saying of Yehuda Ferris, his childhood rabbi, that labels are for shirts. A Jew is a Jew, a person is a person. And Levi liked to share that there was only two people in the beginning, Adam and Eve, right? We're all one big, family in the world. So I think it's, just incredible insights to consider. I really wanted to thank you for, taking the time to, come on. Talk about a variety of subjects from the importance of strategy, both in chess and marketing, racing against the clock, testing in chess and digital marketing, ideal clients, some book recommendations like Getting Things Done and Positive Intelligence, the art of competitive advantage, time management, being an observant Jew, and how that has, actually not been, any bit, detrimental, to your business. And of course, talking about, judging versus evaluating. Is there anything else you'd like to add while you're on the podcast?
I just want to say that remember that you are an amazing human being. And whether you're playing chess or whether you're playing business, the key word is you're playing. Play the game fully. There are two types of people. There are people that are the fans and they're sitting in the stands, judging and evaluating and sharing opinions. And there are the players in the game. And the players that are playing the game are trained not to listen to the opinions of the fans. Because the opinions of the fans, if you do good, they'll cheer you on. And if you do bad, they're like, boo. And often the little voice in our head makes us say, oh, I'm a terrible person because I made that move and I didn't think it through and I didn't see it. You're not a terrible person. Sometimes you're not focusing. Sometimes you're not paying attention. What you need to realize is that you are an amazing person no matter what you're doing, no matter what role you have in your life, whether it's chess player, whether it's business owner, whether it's father, whether it's whatever you're doing in your life, realize that you are an amazing human being that has endless potential. And like you said, we're all one family. So don't judge other people. Know who you are. Show up fully, be yourself. And if you can do that and you set your goals and you know what you want to achieve, you can literally accomplish anything. Your past doesn't need to equal your future. You can create something from nothing, but you have to be willing to go to nothing in order to create something from nothing. If you want a new possibility, you can't keep thinking the same thoughts, expecting that something else will be different. You can't keep using the same stuff that got you here to get you there. What got you here is not going to get you there. You got to change your paradigm, not just of thinking, but of being. We are human beings, and we're so focused on thinking and doing and trying to fix and change. But if you could just be like mind like water, if you could be in flow, that's the ultimate place where we are. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. The only thing that exists right now is me and you living our best life and playing the game to the fullest like an amazing player. So I just want to say thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you, and I'm wishing you a Shana Tova, a happy and sweet new year.
Wow. Well, I just, you know, look, I wanted to thank you for, you know, the inspiration. And, you know, yes, we all do need to be, you know, of course, you know, players. Sometimes you just need to do it. And yeah, like sometimes it takes a team as well. You know, you mentioned before, for instance, a while ago that, you know, yes, there are, you know, when it comes to digital marketing, right, like companies that do like just Facebook. You know, I once met at a networking event someone that just does Instagram. You know, my good friend Beth Granger, you know, actually specifically does LinkedIn marketing, right? That's her, you know, specialty. So, you know, and then there are, you know, people like yourself that, you know, primarily, you know, one thing that I was like a little surprised about actually was the fact that you pretty much only do work with businesses that have marketing departments, right? Very, very different than, you know, others, you know, which also just goes to show that, you know, look, we actually get business from other chess companies out there. You know, we build, you know, a lot of partnerships, you know, with other chess companies. Right. So the truth is, like, other digital marketing companies, you know, are not even necessarily your competitors. Right. They're also like potential partners as well. But OK, that could lead to, you know, a whole other conversation. But yeah, especially look, we're winding down 2021. I was just actually on this morning an amazing panel that our previous podcast guest, Tanja Bogataj, a great life coach, put on. And, you know, really, I would say the biggest theme, there was actually several different coaches, including myself, on it. But we were all just talking about in the year ahead that, you know, look, you could take, you know, things like COVID-19, you know, as, you know, a big problem. Of course, now there's, you know, whatever, Omicron and whatever. You know, that's like scaring a lot of people, but, you know, look, the truth is, you know, we've got to move forward and, you know, just, you know, be fearless, right? My good friend, Michael Deutsch, right? You know, also obviously a previous podcast guest, you know, loves to say we can do it, you know, say yes and figure it out later. So let's move on. So speaking of which, I did want to ask, you know, one more question, which actually I think relates to that. I happened to on LinkedIn this morning see that you actually got your scuba diving license. And one of your goals for, you know, 2022 is to, you know, do it a couple of times and get outside of your comfort zone. Could you just talk like for a quick second about that?
Yeah, I used to be afraid of the ocean. I used to be I had tremendous fear of the ocean, probably because I have it integrated in my genes. My grandparents are afraid of the ocean. My mother's afraid of the ocean. And 70% of the people that I polled are afraid of the ocean. They're literally afraid of sharks, of killer jellyfish or whatever. They're just afraid of drowning. They're just afraid of, like, the ocean is massive. 70% of the world of planet Earth is covered by the ocean. And with global warming, more of the world is getting covered by the ocean. So the ocean is a very scary thing in general. And going and swimming in the ocean is one thing. Going to the depth of the ocean, going down 30 feet, going down 60 feet, going down 100 feet into the ocean could be terrifying for somebody, where it takes time to get back up. And if you go up too quickly, you get decompression sickness. And if you use the wrong type of oxygen, you get oxygen poisoning. And so you have to understand the systems and processes. You have to get the right training if you want to be successful, and not just overcoming your fear of the ocean, but also doing it safely. And they say that diving is a very dangerous sport, and that's why there's so much training that you need to take in order for you to do it. But once you see all the training and you learn how to do it and you go through all the procedures and you have a really good buddy, it actually becomes just as safe as walking, because you know how to walk. Walking could be very dangerous if you're a two-year-old and you don't know how to walk, and you're wobbling around and walk into the streets unsupervised with no skills and no awareness. That could be very, very dangerous. It could be much more dangerous than diving for a two-year-old to walk down the street in Brooklyn and get slammed by, God forbid, you know, like a garbage truck or something can happen, or someone snatches them and does ungodly things to them. So diving could be very, very powerful if you learn how to do it. And so I got 50 hours of online training, and I spent many weeks learning how to properly use the equipment and what to do. Then I got taught inside a pool how to do it with a master trainer. And then I did four different dives at different depths, going deeper and deeper every single time. And the first one was terrifying. Like I didn't even know what to expect. I'm leaping off a boat with a 50 pound oxygen tank on my back and another 16 pounds of weight in a vest with tons of equipment on me and trying to like figure out, I'm about to jump into the ocean. And I get into the ocean and I'm floating and I'm like, things are great. And I like, and then I'm like learning how to breathe and how to be buoyant and all these new skills. And it's just, it's like unlimited how much you can learn by being a diver. One of the things that I learned is you have to take it easy and you have to flow and you have to be in the zone and you have to kind of just take a chill pill. Cause if you panic, that's where it all ends. So you're forced to really get into a meditative state and always be breathing. You know, a lot of the times I'm looking at you, maybe you're not breathing right now. A lot of the times we stop breathing and we hold our breath and that's when we create stress. Stress is created by not breathing. And if you do that underwater, you're done. You always have to be breathing with your device. Otherwise, a lot of bad things can happen. So the number one rule of diving is always be breathing. Always be breathing. Always be breathing. Always be breathing. And so I have to learn to always breathe. And so I feel just energized by just breathing. I was recently watching a Qigong teacher teaching about Qigong. And he said, if the pharmaceutical companies were able to figure out the benefits of breathing and put it into a pill, that would be the most successful drug that anyone has ever sold in the history of the world. The benefits of breathing, learning how to breathe. There's a new book called Breath by James Nestor. Unbelievable book. If you have sleep apnea, if you have low energy levels, learning how to breathe, learning what to do, and how to be able to get. So I built a whole new relationship with my breath. I built a whole new relationship with my breath. In the Torah, I'm taught that when God created Adam, where did he breathe? Did he breathe into his mouth and do CPR? No. He breathed into his nose. And the life comes in from your nose. Disease comes in from your mouth. We use our mouth too much. We got to shut our mouth and use our nose in order to have life inside us. And life comes in from the breath. There's a concept called qi or body energy that I'm learning about. And the idea is that breath is life. It brings in the energy that's in the world. So taking a moment, if you're in business or you're playing chess and you want to be more strategic, breathe more. Breathe more because it'll activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which will calm you and allow you not to work through your limbic system, the parts of your brain that make you survive, but work through your prefrontal cortex and give you access to more creativity. It'll give you access to more power. It'll give you access to more thinking. If you're not breathing, you can't be thinking. And if you're not thinking, then you're reacting. And reacting is not the place where we want to be on if we want to thrive. You want to react when someone throws a ball at you and you catch it. You catch the ball. You didn't think. You caught it.
Yeah, so look, it all starts with very simple things, right? We all think that breathing, you know, is like not that important, but of course it is, right? It helps us think better, make better decisions, you know, and be successful. So anyway, look, I know you're, you know, wealth of knowledge. You know, would love to, you know, who knows in the future to, you know, an encore episode. But yeah, thank you so much, you know, for your, you know, inspirational, you know, words of wisdom, but also obviously a lot of, you know, great, more scientific insights, you know, into strategy and marketing and, you know, business.
Or diving. I could do 52 different tips that I got from diving, but we're not going to get into that right now.
that's for a future episode when you get into the Olympics.
But, thank you so much.
Meanwhile, if anyone wants to reach out, you know, learn a little bit more about Adrex Union's digital marketing services or just connect in general, how can people reach you?
If you go to joelinkedin.com, joelinkedin.com, you can find me on LinkedIn, follow me, connect with me, let me know that you saw me on Evan's podcast, or you can go to ajaxunion.com and watch our 20-minute video that we have on our homepage, which teaches you about the marketing funnel.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joe. Happy secular new year. And I look forward to being in touch soon.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Boom. Bye.